The Irish Racing Podcast with Andy Holding. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts. Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill Irish Racing Preview. Alex Dunn here, joined by Andy Holding, as ever, to look ahead to Roscommon's card on Tuesday evening, to Jump's cards, and it's reasonably competitive. Big fields, bits and pieces of form in some of the races that could be quite interesting, and fingers crossed we can point in the direction of a winner or two. Good morning, Andy Holding.
Good morning, Alex.
How the devil are you?
All right, yeah. Good. Yeah. Yeah, not too bad at all. Yeah, it's been a while since we've had a chat.
Yeah, it is. I've missed you.
No, you haven't. You're just saying that.
Yeah, that's very, very true.
Yeah. I can see straight through you.
Well, we've had... it was a mixed card last night, wasn't it, in Roscommon?
It was. It was mixed as well for me as well, punting-wise.
Okay.
I got every breast price available in the village and absolute cursing me luck that I managed somehow not to back a winner. I bet Angel of Joy each way in the first at 13-2, went off 5-2, got done a neck. I backed Henson and mentioned Apache Trooper as my danger, who was 9-1 in the morning, went off 7-2, and of course Apache Trooper won. I somehow managed to back Moonby Creek each way at 6-1, and that finished fourth under a terrible ride. And then to put the icing on the cake, I got 10-1 about a horse called Cincy, and it went off 3-1 favourite and was out of frame.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, and then I fancied James E. Hall and Golden Kite, the first and second from last year. Managed to back James E. Hall, left Golden Kite alone, and of course Golden Kite won and James E. Hall fell.
Mm.
So, yeah. My summaries were great, but my actual profit was negligible.
So we'll be looking for a slight upturn in fortunes here.
You could say, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, at least you're getting along the right lines. That's better than nothing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Just rather make money.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, there's no prizes for being a gallant.
No, that is true.
You know, getting good summaries in and having the moral winners, but doesn't pay the bank balance, does it?
It doesn't. So hopefully we can get a few winners today.
Yes.
We'll start with the 5:15. It's a maiden hurdle over 2 miles. Seems logical to start with Shutter Island here. Very much respected connections. Mark Walsh on board. And at the time of recording, heads the market at 7-4.
Yeah, worthy favourite by quite a way, actually. On quite a few counts, to be honest, Alex. Largely, his form, I think he's better than the other two, or the main two in the market. And secondly, I just think he's probably got more resolution than the other two as well. We're talking about Reflet Ombre and Cadian, his main two in the market, against him. We'll deal with those two horses' temperaments and their attitudes in a second, but we'll deal with Shutter Island, who's probably one of my strongest bets on the card. He's had four chances over hurdles. Two or three of them have been races where he's been probably expected to finish in the frame at the very, very best, i.e. when he was second to Kitten Rock down in Navan. He was a 14-1 chance that day, and he bumped into a horse who we didn't know at the time has gone on to finish second in a Grade 2. That Edward O'Grady horse, Kitten Rock's a very smart animal, so he was up against it there. Cadian was well beaten on that occasion, and then he was down in Wexford on his last start for hurdles. He was a bit unlucky that day, he just got a little bit outpaced around that sharp track. They went a good gallop, courtesy of Voice of a Curlew, who fell at the last and would have won. He almost brought down a horse called Ashjar, who ended up finishing fourth, and Ashjar, of course, won the other day at Tramore. Shutter Island was absolutely flying on the run, and he got beat half length. With another couple of strides, he would have won. They sent him over on the flat last time out. We saw him down in Clonmel, and once again, he got outpaced around a sharp track, and that's my only problem with him tonight, really, around Roscommon. It is a sharp track, and I've just got a that would be the only thing slightly niggling at the back of my mind. But he does do all his best work at the end. The rain they've had overnight will suit him. And that race down in Clonmel has worked out really well. The first, Colonia Empress. The second, Dane Quest and Dragon Faye, was third. Of all run subsequently. So he's in quite deep there. The second and third favourites, Reflet Ombre and Cadian, as I said, I think they're both a little bit iffy, particularly at Reflet Ombre. I don't particularly like him. I was against him last time out on the podcast. And Cadian looks a weak finisher as well. So unless there's something else lurking in the pack that I haven't really considered, I'd expect Shutter Island, if he's ridden a bit more prominently, to take the opening race.
Okay. Next up is the 5:45. It is Division 1 of a maiden hurdle over 2 miles. Mark has it between two here, Alton Bay and Overcall. And I suppose that the best way to form an opinion around this is Alton Bay frustrating or unlucky?
I would say, yeah, he's becoming a little bit frustrating. I've tipped him a few times at short prices and he's got beat on each occasion. He had a golden opportunity here two starts back when he was favourite in a bumper and he got beat by Wamtune and Bonobo. Form of that race is just average. So his lessons he's improved in the interim. He's been off the track for quite a while, almost the best part of 9 months. Then this really should go the way of Overcall, who's been priced up at a rather generous-looking 5-4 with William Hill this morning. I think this also got off odds on, unless there's a major turnaround in my assessment of this in the market. Because I thought that was a good run the other day by Jesse Carrington's Charge down in Tremor. He went the way of Ashjar, and in second was a horse called Honey Pound, who runs in the 6:15. But that was the strongest run race on that card that evening. It was the fastest furlong per furlong time. And Overcall was entitled to get a little bit tired after a long layoff. Been off the track for over a year. And that's exactly what happened. We should strip fitter for the run. As I said, I think 5-4 is a reasonable bet. It looks between the two. Noble King was a 25-1 chance on his debut the other day over hurdles, and he reared and unseated at the start. So the fact that Tony Martin's horse was that price, he wasn't really fancied, and he's 5-1, 4-1 tonight. I mean, I don't know why he should be so short in the betting if he wasn't fancied first time. Why should he be fancied tonight? You know, it's the same kind of scenario. So Overcall, this really does look his to lose.
Okay, Overcall the pick there in the 5:45. Next up is the 6:15. It is Division 2 of the same maiden hurdle over 2 miles. Bits and pieces of pretty interesting form here. It certainly looks more open than the first two races. Honey Pound has been well backed and heads affairs just at the time of recording. But Voluptuous, Ballycorus bring decent form to the table. And one horse that I am slightly interested in is Poetic Lord. Desi Hughes trains this one. Formerly on the flat for Richard Hannon and Sylvester Kirk, of course ridden by Richard Hughes, and now goes to his father. So you'd expect he had some say in that. But this certainly has a more open feel to it, doesn't it, Andy?
Yeah, it does, yeah. There are one or two nice types in this. And, you know, you look at Honey Pound, he's got a rating of 112. Looks fairly exposed, albeit he probably does bring arguably the best form to the table, but doesn't mean to say that that could be good enough here, because you've got the likes of Ballycorus, who's won a bumper. You've got Rich Coast, now trained by Noel Mead, who bolted up the last time we saw him on the flat when trained by Johnny Murta in a fast time. You've got a couple of horses coming out the point-to-point fields. And you've got Voluptuous as well, who ran well in a good main hurdle down in Kilbeggan the other day, won by Queen Alphabet. I noticed the second horse, Conig, won the other day at Tipperary while I was on holiday. So this is a really nasty one here. I can say I think there's four or five actually above average horses for this time of year. We'll deal with Honey Pound. He was second in that race of the day behind Ashjar, and even though he finished second, he was a good 10 to 15 lengths behind as they went past the winning line for the first time. So he did incredibly well to finish only a length and a half behind. I actually marked him up as the best horse in the race. I can see why there's money for him, because he's sure to run well again. I think if you place potting or putting on some each-way doubles and trebles tonight, he's almost like banker material in that race. It's very, very difficult to see him not finishing in the frame. But whether, like I say, whether he's good enough to win it, I wouldn't be absolutely guaranteed of. I think that form down in Kilbeggan looks very solid for Voluptuous as well, and he travelled through that race quite well. So, in short, I think the market is absolutely spot on. That's exactly how I'd bet the race. As I said, I think the solid one is Honey Pound. What you see is what you get. He's not going to improve, but that might just be good enough. If it isn't, then I would expect Voluptuous to take advantage.
Okay, so if I was to push for one selection?
I'll go with Honey Pound, yeah. He's top of my figures, and he's the solid one. But like I say, I wouldn't get massively carried away with that race. I think that's a really, really difficult maiden hurdle.
Okay. Honey Pound the pick, though, in the 6:15. Next up, the 6:45. It's a handicap hurdle over the two-mile trip. And heading affairs, having been really well back this morning, is Gretzky, a horse that we know quite a lot about from his exploits at Dundalk. On first glance, there isn't a great deal of form to go on here, but what does interest me here, Andy, is the fact that we've got at 7-1, 8-1 and 8-1 respectively in Couleur de la Loire, Chavon's Bell and Honourable Lady, three horses that did finish second last time out. Off the back of not showing much, it's, normally when that happens, they go on to run well again. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, that's fair assessment, yeah. The pick of those for me would be Couleur de la Loire, who was run up to that Preswell lad the other day. He's a really tough individual to get by, and he's shown all his battling qualities to fend off Michael Cleary's 9-year-old the other day at a track that really plays into his strength. So I didn't think that was a bad run at all. That was his first real decent run for quite a while. So he's a player. I think Royal Baru's an interesting one in the market. Just watch him, because he was well punted the other day at Down Royal, and he fell at the last. He was beaten when he fell, but the fact there was good money for him suggests the connections think he could be quite well handicapped. But the same comments apply to Gretzky as well, who I think could be incredibly well treated off a mark of 93 compared to his flat rating of 87. And that's come courtesy of several big efforts on the all-weather at Dundalk throughout the winter. All his best forms at that track, which means he wants a decent surface. I think he's won about four or five times there over a mile and a half. So he's a very decent horse, or certainly worked his way through the ranks anyway on the flat. And he was well punted the other day at Ferry House, and he was going quite well when he got brought down. Horse fell right in front of him at the fourth last. He was just on the outside, just being behind the leaders, but he was travelling supremely easily, and I think he would have gone very close that day. I noticed that Jerez, who was second, has won out of the race. So let's say he would have finished in the first three. I still think that would have been a fair return on his first run back over hurdles after obviously being in the wilderness over timber in the early part of his campaign. But he's improved immeasurably in the interim, and he looks the most likely one here. They had a bit of rain at Roscommon last night, and there are one or two showers forecast in and around the area, so you have to keep an eye on that for his prospects, because he does want decent ground. But providing the rain stays away and it remains on the good side, I definitely think the money in the direction of Gretzky is not going to be too far away. So I'll go with him.
Okay, Gretzky the pick there in the 6:45. Next up is the 7:15, a maiden hurdle over 2.5 miles. Some of the bigger yards represented here. Little Rocky Heads Affairs at the time of recording for Desi Hughes. Willie Mullins has a runner here in Alileo. We've got Easter Hunt for Mouse Morris for the Gigginstown stud operation. Where should we start with this one, Andy?
Yeah, again, in similar race to the 6:15, probably about 6 or 7 you could give chances to here, hence the fact that 7-2 the field for a maiden hurdle. I'm going to play with a very, very straight bat here and cut straight to the chase. There are one or two horses who you'd almost put your life on being in the frame in races such as this, and I think the one I mentioned early on, Honey...
Pound.
Honey Pound, yes. Name escaped me there.
No bother.
Honey Pound is one of those ones that I'd definitely put in each way, doubles and trebles. And the other one I'd put in is this well-tuned here, John Nicholson's mare. Again, similar to Honey Pound, she's no great shakes. What you get. She's only rated 102. But she does run this track particularly well, and her only career victory in her life came here when she fought off a whole host of challenges in the home straight, including Alton Bay runs early on the card in the maiden hurdle. She was a good second down in Downpatrick the day beyond Triplets Joy. Prior to that, again, she'd run solidly in two very similar maiden hurdles at Tramore and Limerick. Basically, she just always finishes in the frame. And I kind of like backing horses like that in races like this. You know, you're getting your money back and winning a few quid on top of it. And I think if you stick this horse in an each-way double with a Honey Pound, you know, you're looking at a decent return there. You're going to get sort of 3-1 for Honey Pound. You're getting 12-1 for this beast. You're looking at sort of 4-1, 9-2 for the each way double, which I think is a fair way to play this. So yeah, that's the way I wouldn't just play well tuned individually here. I'd do it in an each way double with Honey Pound. I don't think you'd be far away there, drawing a nice little pot.
Okay then, well tuned the pick for the 7:15. Next up is the 7:45. It's a handicap hurdle over 2 miles and a half. and Give Me a Break. Heads Affairs here. A winner last time out for JP Manis, Michael Horrigan Trains, and Adrian Heskin takes the ride. But there's a few here that arrive off the back of a win, or two in some cases, and it certainly looks one of the stronger races on the card.
Yeah, it does, yeah. Wildly impressive the other day she was. Where that run come from, I have no idea. It's probably due to the better ground that she was running on, and tonight's surface is obviously going to be even more into her strength, you know, being a faster ground than what she encountered at Tipperary. So I do think she's got to be respected here, but I'm also very, very keen on the way this Carrie Bridges is going about his work at the moment. He seems to have struck up a real good chord with Ryan Tracy, who takes the ride. He's ridden this horse on his last two starts, and on both occasions he's made the run in at a strong pace, and he's fought off challenger after challenger. In fact, he was really softened up the other day down in Banning Robe. He didn't get it all his own way because he got taken on halfway down the back straight, and I thought, God, this horse is going a bit quick here, and the two of them were really trapping on. But he fought that horse off. That horse completely fainted in the latter stages, and to be fair to Kilcarrie Bridge, he went all the way to the line very strongly, and the further he went, the better he looked. He's been raised another £9, but considering Ryan Trakes takes the seven off, that'll negate some of that. And this track, as we saw last night at Roscommon, it's a very, very difficult course for horses to come from the back of the field, because it's a tight, given the tight nature of the course, it means that the front runners get a chance to get a breather in the bends and then kick on the home straight. And it could be very, very difficult to catch. He's clearly in the form of his life. He's sure to go off in front again. I don't think anything will want to get anywhere near him will take him on, because that will compromise their own chances. So 11-2, Kilcarrie Bridge is going to be very difficult to beat for me in that 7:45.
Okay, next up is the 8:15. It's the penultimate race on the card. It's race number 7. And Heading Affairs, another one that has been nibbled at this morning, 9-4 into 7-4, is Desi Hughes' Knockanarrigan. Lovely horse, this. Going about things the right way. 7-4 is a little bit short in what could be a slightly competitive affair, but has very, very good chances here.
Yeah, he does. Desi Hughes has just been a master with the way he's campaigned this over the last month or so. In his first run, he should have won really down in Tipperary, but he bumped into Marsham, who is a track specialist par excellence at Tipperary. That's his favourite venue, and he just got the better of Knockanarrigan, who fluffed the last. So that was the first sign that Knockanarrigan's going to make hay now for Desi Hughes. Of course, he used to be with the Shark Hanlon. And since that run, he's never looked back. Two chase wins in sumptuous ease. Well, the first one was snug rather than a comfortable victory. But his next one was embarrassingly easy. That would be the only way I could summarise that. So he's clearly on top of his game. He won off a mark of 103. He's probably, I haven't checked his rating, but he's probably in the high one teens, something like 115 plus. So he gets to run here back over hurdles. Brilliant bit of campaigning here by Desi Hughes, off a mark of 105, which is probably in the area of about a stone lower than what he is over fences. He likes good ground. He won't want any rain tonight at Roscommon. They're currently calling it good, but providing they miss the showers, again, similar to 1 or 2 tonight, he's going to be very difficult to beat from the front. I must emphasise, this definitely is a front runner's track. He's guaranteed to lead. The brush hurdles will suit him. He's got a really nice way of going. And he should, in theory, if he gets into a good rhythm, be very, very hard to beat. So even though he is short, I think he's going to get even shorter than that. I think he could go off in 5-4 or close to even money. So Knockanarrigan, again, similar to 1 or 2 tonight, a very strong bet in that 8:15.
Okay, Knockanarrigan the pick there in the 8:15. The final race on the card is the 8:45. It's a flat race over 2 miles. Willie Mullins and Patrick Mullins team up here with New Kid in Town, who's 5-2 at the time of recording, but his second favourite horse that's been well supported is a horse I'm not even going to attempt to pronounce, because I always get the Irish ones wrong. Trained by John Kiley. I'll hand this one over to you, Andy.
Yeah, thanks for that. Yeah, Listen Rain is the way I'd go, just without being too complicated.
That seems about right, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. Yeah. I'm going to stick with that. It's probably nowhere near correct, but anyway. I thought she ran really well first time up at Killarney on ground that may have just been a bit too soft for a first time up. She wasn't particularly strongly fancied, but I did like the way she kept on from the back of the field under a very gentle ride from her amateur pilot on that occasion. We've got Derek O'Connor in our takes over tonight. I think that's very significant. And given that she was very tenderly ridden in that race, I think that'll be rewarded on this occasion on better ground. The form, I think, of that race is all right. Of course, we get a chance to see Ballycorus, because he runs early on in the card. And we also get a chance to, well, we've already got a chance to see that form work out really well, because Fort Smith, who was second, has won subsequently. And given that Liz and Rain was closing the front two down late on under minimal pressure, suggested that, you know, that was an above-average effort in a good race against horses who'd got previous form and good credentials going into that race. Shorter strip fitter, be a little bit more streetwise. As I said, with Derek O'Connor on board tonight, I think John Keeley's Liz and Rain is definitely the one to beat in the last.
Okay, that's the pick in the Lucky Last, the 8:45. Great stuff, Andy. Thank you very much for your time. Best of luck with your selections in Roscommon. And we'll catch up with you tomorrow ahead of Fairy House.
We will. Thanks. Cheers, bud.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.